Hello and welcome to another episode of Django Chat, a weekly podcast on the Django Web Framework. I'm Will Vincent, joined as always by Carlton Gibson. Hello, Carlton.
Hello, Will.
And this week, I thought we'd talk about security releases because there was a particularly interesting one recently. And so I'll tee it up and then I'll let you do the talking since you are one of the Django fellows. So Django has a great security policy and does regular releases outside of the major releases. So major releases would be 2.0, 1, 2, 3.0, which came out in December. And then after that, there's 3.0.1, 0.2, which are minor releases, which are almost always security related. So let's talk about what's a normal process for that, and then we'll get to this most recent one, which was a little bit interesting.
Okay, so assuming it's not like 3.0, which is a big release, and we have a whole beta release sequence for that. So we first of all, we'll do an alpha, and then there's a 6 weeks after that, there's a beta, and then there's a release candidate, and there's a final release. So you can follow those, and they're kind of outside of the normal cadence. But then there's basically a monthly Django release. So it'll either be 3.0 or 3.0.1 or 3.0.2. And these are bug fixes in new features, essentially, or data loss bugs, which we will backport then to other versions. So if, you know, what's currently supported, 1.11 is just about to go end of life, upgrade if you're on that, 2.2, and then 3.0 are current versions. And so say there's a data loss bug in 2.2, we'll release a version of that. And that's on the monthly schedule. And that's normally at the beginning of the month, the first, the second, the third, you know, whatever the first Monday is normally. And then the other kind of release that you get as part of those is a security release. And normally that hit, we will try and land those on the first Monday of the month as well, just as the normal cycle, you know. However, you mentioned one recently where we put out mid-month.
So from a distance, something emerged, and within, I think, 2 days, it had gone through all the processes and was released to everyone. But what's the deep dive? We can put a link, right? So what was the specific bug that came out? Mozilla find it or something?
No, there was a bug.
It was a hijacking, right?
It was
password reset. Yeah.
Yeah, via the password reset form. So, Unicode, God bless you. And this is why you have to be using a framework like Django, right? Because you would never, ever in a million find this bug yourself and be able to fix this bug yourself and secure your own system if you wrote this code by hand. But because there's millions of people using it, you get those fixes.
Right.
But if, for instance, you've got an email address, mike@example.com, right? That's the one we use in the test case. But there's a Unicode character, which the Turkish lowercase I without a dot, right? And that, when it's compared by a database, normally, Postgres, MySQL, well, SQLite doesn't have this issue, but though the normal lowercase I and this Turkish lowercase I without a dot, which are not the same character, compare the same when you do an equality test in the database to look up the email address. So in principle, somebody could register a Unicode lookalike address for your email address. It'd have to be the same domain. So it'd have to be like, you know, google.com or somewhere where they could get an email address on the same domain, or a domain which lowercase equivalent, of course. And then they could get sent the reset token for your password, and then they could reset your password. They could capture your account. And this was discovered as a vulnerability on GitHub. And GitHub published a blog post on their security blog telling the world about it, which obviously went to the front page of Hacker News. And then Simon Charette, who's one of the major contributors to Django, was like, hang on, that affects us too. And so this was on like the Monday or the Tuesday, and we had a release out on the Wednesday afternoon, which is as quick as we can do it, to be honest. Because it's potentially devastating.
And I think also, didn't Marcus Holderman, he also did the code? Let's talk about the names, well, right? Because this, like, you right, know, they, so, okay. these people labor in the dark largely. So GitHub released this thing. Simon Charette saw it, or was one of the people who saw it and raised the flag.
So Marcus Holderman, as you said, James Bennett was...
Yes, I know James was up super late.
...strongly involved. Marius, the other Django fellow, was there. I was working on it. Who else? Probably other people were directly involved. But those people I definitely remember were on the ticket, on the issue. And there was a lot of activity that went on behind the scenes to get it out. And normally we pre-announce a security release. So normally we a week before we'll publicly announce it, and we have a security policy for, you know, if you need advance notification. Normally that would be if you're like Red Hat and you're packaging Django up for your package manager, you might need the security patches a little bit in advance just so you can get that patch in place so people can yum update their installed Django. This time we weren't able to do that because it was so high profile and so potential. You know, it's
a big
it's
issue. Not a minor thing.
Yeah, it's a big issue. It's not a minor thing. So we announced it as soon as we were sure. We got the CVE, which is there's a database of security issues,
right? Yeah.
Which you need a number for. So they've got these numbers, CVE 2019, you know, 1148 or whatever, and we released it, you know, on the Wednesday. So
now, how can an average Django user know about this? So it was tweeted out. There's like, what's the best way? And shout out, I launched a Django newsletter with Jeff Triplett, Django News, Django-News.com, that will mention things like this. Because in this case, because I saw, you know, it was very, like the wording said, you know, this is like a high priority, but where should people look for this, right? There's the security email feed, right? What would be the number one place someone should look to, you know, when something like this happens where it's like, ooh, you really do need to update now?
Okay, so there's a mailing list called Django Announce, which is a Google group which you get an email for. And that's where we'll send the pre-announce saying that the security releases are coming. So normally on a security release, you get a week's notice.
Mm.
For this one, you got a day's notice because that was all we had. Then there's the Django blog, which you should subscribe to anyway, because you get notifications about, you know, DjangoCon Europe or, you know, each released. There's a release blog post for each release, which tells you about the release, what's in there, what's, you know, what you need to do. There's a Twitter account you can follow. Where else? I think that's about it. I think those are the main sources. Then Django News email.
Yeah, well, I'll admit publicly, I see that I'm actually not in the Django Announce Google group, so I just signed up. I'm in a half a dozen other ones, but not that one. So
it depends. It depends what you like. So the blog post comes out like immediately.
Yeah, I mean,
and so if you've got an RSS read that you subscribe to, that will appear in your RSS reader. If you're on Twitter, that's automatically tweeted out. So, but Twitter's easy to miss, so I wouldn't use that as a reliable source. And then just be on that latest version, whichever it is. So if you're on 2.2, be on 2.2.8. or 2.2.9, and then be ready to update to 2.2.10 when it's released, and do that monthly.
Yeah.
If you're on the latest major release.
Well, and I thought just this was a great example of the small number of, you know, people in the dark who make Django happen, make it secure. You know, again, James Bennett, who's been involved with Django for forever, the next day he was on a Django Software Foundation monthly meeting, which I'm on now, and you know, he was quite tired. So he's going from one thing to another, plus holding down a job. And same for basically everyone else. This isn't their job. They're not getting paid to do this. They do this because they care.
And yeah, and you know, the long-term contributors who've been there for ages, they are so knowledgeable. It's just mind-blowing. Like James was able to point to the right RFC where it discusses, or not the RFC, the Unicode technical document, where it discusses the exact algorithm you have to use to do safe comparison of Unicode strings. And, you know, that knowledge just isn't, I don't have it. And, you know, 99% of people don't have it, but James has got it. And what he doesn't know, well, Florian will know, or Simon will know, or, you know. And, you know, there's a dozen people perhaps on the security team who really, they really know their stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Well, so as ever, the more I learn about Django, the more I appreciate all this work that's done to make it what it is. And I just quickly mentioned, I was elected to the board. So there's a Django Software Foundation board. So thank you, community. So I'm now one of seven people on that who meet monthly, and I'm the treasurer. So deal with things like paying the fellows, sponsors. We'll do an episode on that, but I'm learning more about Django, and hopefully I'll share that with podcast listeners, since I think most podcast listeners don't know either much of how Django is run. We all just take it for granted.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just pip install Django. That's it, no?
All right, anything else? This is a short episode, but we wanted to highlight that security release, because again, in my world, all the fire alarms were going off, and I was like, oh my God, like this is something we should highlight to people, because it doesn't just happen without action.
Yeah, no, I mean, all I'd say is you know, sponsor the DSF, obviously, but be on that latest version and be prepared to update monthly. It's just a point release. We shouldn't break anything, you know, if it's a security issue and there's a small breaking change. So one previously for the admin in 2.1, we introduced read-only views. And in 2.1, you could have a read-only parent with editable inlines. But it turned out that wasn't going to be sustainably secure. So we had to pull that out. And now, unless the parent model's editable, the whole view will be read-only. And that's more secure, and you can work around that by implementing custom views. But that was a breaking change. But we made that with some great discussion. We looked at alternatives, and we looked at whether those were sustainable. And we're like, no, but if you're on the latest version, it's an easy update. And okay, there was a small breaking change. If you're needing that, you've got to code around it. But, you know, for security issues, you can't quibble.
Yeah. And yet another example of your analogy of the car. This is just maintenance. If you're up to date, it's easier to stay up to date. You have your test suite, right? And you just run it and you're good to go.
Yeah, it's like if you need new tires, you put new tires on, because otherwise you crash.
Yes. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Carlton, for you and the fellows in the community that does all this work. I appreciate it. And that is about it, I think.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us. Join us next time. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.